get into the Word, because that's what we come here today, to honor Christ and to sit at His feet. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, Father, we give You thanks for today. And we do thank You for the mothers that we have. None of us would be here without our mothers. And, Lord, we thank You for the wonderful memories. We thank You for the multitude of sacrifices that they made. Now, Father, we lift up Pastor John as he opens the Word to us today. We pray, Father, that we would sit attentively at Your feet, ready to digest Your holy Word. Father, move by the Spirit of God Himself upon our hearts. Lord, may we take this Word, and may we be doers of it, not just hearers. Father, we thank You for it. Anoint every word that Pastor John brings forth this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen.
Well, as you know, over the past few months, we've been talking about getting to know God. There's absolutely nothing that's more important than getting to know our Creator. Knowing who God is, knowing what He's like, knowing why He created us in the first place. We want to know, like, what are we doing here? I had a situation happen to me one time back quite a few years ago. I was invited to play guitar at a conference, and the man who was running the praise and worship at that conference called me up about a month ahead of time and invited me to come. He wanted me to play lead guitar for the conference. And so I said, sure, I can do that as long as you can send me the music. So he said, no problem. So that was a month before, 3 weeks before, still no music. 2 weeks before, still no music. So I called him up and I said, you know, I really need that music so I can get myself ready so I know what I'm doing. And a week before, still no music. About 2 days before, is there any way, can you just tell me the songs at least? I mean, I didn't even know what songs we were going to be playing, and he's expecting me to play, you know, lead on these songs. And so he says, yeah, I'll get back to you. Well, he never did. So I get there, the conference, and I'm thinking, well, at least while I'm here, now he can give me the music. He still didn't have the music. And so it finally gets to the point where I'm up there supposed to be playing, and I had no idea what songs we're going to play until we actually got there. And even then, he didn't have a set of music for me, but he was expecting me to play. Turned out I didn't know probably two-thirds of the songs, never had even heard of them. And he didn't want me to just throw in a little stuff. He wanted me to be like play like the main lead parts of the song. We started, you know, going over. He had about a 20-minute practice beforehand, just about play about 1 or 2 minutes of each song. And I said, I can't do this. How do you expect me to do this? I mean, I'll try. I mean, I did. I tried, and I threw in a little bit here and there, but I felt like it was a total waste. Because I never knew what the guy wanted. I never knew his plans. I never knew his purpose, you know, and it just seemed like he was so disorganized for the whole thing. It actually was not good. It turned out, I think everybody there that was a part of that felt the same way. It was a mistake having him run the worship that night, and I really wished I wouldn't even have been a part of it, because it was so disorganized, even though we somehow managed to pull it together. The reason I say that is because sometimes in our own life, we feel that we just don't know what's going on. We don't know what our purpose is. And what I want to say is that everything that God does, everything that He does, He always does with a purpose in mind. And if you're like me, I want to know, what does God want from me? What's God's plans? What are His plans for me? What's the game plan here? I like to know when I'm going into something. Don't you like to have a heads up about what's going on? Especially if you're doing like the main part. Imagine somebody having you come and speak at a conference or do something, and then they say, well, when you get here, we'll let you know, and then they don't tell you. And then you get up there. Or going on a job. come here and, yeah, we need you to do this job. Jim back there, he does jobs. He goes places. How would you like it, Jim, if you went to the job and you never had a clue what you were going to do? He's probably saying, yep, I've been there. And you don't know what tools to bring. You don't know what materials to bring. You don't know how many helpers to bring. I mean, you just don't know because there's no plan. You want to have a plan. So the reason I say that is because what I want to talk about today is that knowing God, getting close to Him and knowing Him, will help us to discover the plans that God has for us. He has a plan, and He has a purpose for your life. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Now see, the Scripture is telling us to understand what His plan is, what His will is. Do we want to be foolish and waste our life? Because that's what it says. Do not be foolish, but understand. So if we don't take the time to understand, if we don't try to understand, what we're saying is then, well, we're just going to be foolish. We're just going to waste our life and sort of meander through life, never knowing what God wants if we don't learn, if we don't get into it, if we don't get to know God and begin to understand what He wants. Every one of us are going to encounter many, many opportunities. All these different choices that will lead us down different pathways that can have a dramatic impact on our life and change the course of our life. And don't we want to then choose the right path so that we end up at the right place? The one that leads to blessing and success? The one that leads to God and doing His will and eventually leads to heaven? That's the path I want to take. These opportunities or these doors that God opens will present themselves on a regular basis in every area of our life. Whether it's in our family, our marriage, our workplace, our home, our neighborhood, even in our thought life, there's going to be opportunities, doors that are going to open that we can either go into or avoid. And some of the ones we go into are good for us, and some are not. So we need to get a hold of God's intentions. Get some guidance from Him. All these different opportunities, these random things that happen, they might seem unconnected. But what is happening is that God is working behind the scenes, developing like the plot of the story of your life. He's doing a character development, your character. He's developing your giftings. He's developing your abilities, your knowledge, your understanding. He's starting to bring all this stuff out so that He can use you to accomplish His purposes at just the right time in your life. Remember, God is a God of purpose. He is not a random God. Psalm 33:11 tells us that the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. Isaiah 14:24, "Surely, as I have planned, so it will be. As I have purposed, so it will stand." So see, God plans, He purposes. God's purposes are eternal, according to Ephesians 3:11. His purpose doesn't change every hour, every day, every week, every generation even. His purposes don't change even every century or every millennium. He has a purpose. Some different things work through and individual situations change, but His overall plan continues on. It's up to us It's up to us to change to fit into His plans. Isaiah 46:11 says, "From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, I will bring about. What I have planned, that will I do." I was thinking about that. Isn't it a shame that God has to, you know, bring somebody in from a far off land? Oh, we need a guy to work in our job here. Let's bring in a guy from India. Let's bring in a guy from Korea because we need a tech here. Don't we have somebody right here in the company we can use? Isn't there somebody in our city we can use? Isn't there somebody in our state we can use, or even in our country? Well, you know, that's what God's saying. He had to bring in somebody sometimes from far away. Why is that? Why does it so often happen that our lives don't coincide with God's purposes? That He's got to search for somebody. Why do we sometimes feel so unsure of what God wants from us? How come we're not growing in our ability to understand and advance the kingdom of God? How come the desire and the joy and the power are not operating in our life the way we would want them to? I would hope that we would want them to. Because I believe that we do want to serve God. I think everybody in here, for the most part, I would hope, everybody in here wants to serve God, wants to love God, wants to obey God. But for some reason, our walk is like sort of disjointed. You know, there's that we feel like we're walking all awkward, and you know, it just reminded me of this joke that from way back. I think I've used it back a few years ago. It's about this. You ever hear this joke about the guy that went to buy a suit, and he goes in to get the suit, he gets all measured up, and he gets the suit on, and then when he goes to put it on, it's too short. In the one arm. One arm's long and one arm's short. And so the guy says, "That's not a problem." He says, "Just, you know, twist your body a little bit. Bend over and stretch out your arm." And he says, "There, now that looks good." He goes, "Yeah, but now this part's short." And he goes, "That's not a problem. Go like this." And then he says, "Yeah, but my leg's short." He says, "Well, then you just sort of go like this." So he's walking like this. And he walks outside, and there's two little old ladies out there. And the one little lady says, "Oh, look at that poor man, the way he's walking." And the other little old lady says, "Yeah, but that suit sure looks nice on him." That's sometimes like our lives. We try to make ourselves work the way we want to fit into God's workings, and yet God is saying, "I need you to hear my plans. I need you to be the way I want you to be. I don't want you to take just whatever you got and try to make it fit." Sometimes our lives are hot, sometimes they're cold, sometimes we're up and sometimes they're down. I mean, so what do we do to get on the right track? Well, we need to get close to God so we can really begin to know Him. And as we get to know God and we know His character and we know His Word and we know His Spirit and His ways, and as we meet Him and speak to Him in prayer, we begin to know Him, which is what we've been talking about. And as we know Him, we begin to discover His purposes and His plans for our life. And then we see how our life can now fit into His overall plan, His master plan. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13 says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me and when you seek me with all of your heart. See, God's telling us that we can get close to him. We just have to be serious about going after him. Come to me, seek me, pray to me. That's what that says there. It's all about knowing God. To know someone, to really know them, is to know what they like, what they want, what their heart desires. We think, well, I can't do this. I don't have the strength. I don't have the discipline. I don't have the focus to fix my eyes on God. I mean, I want to. I really do want to run after him and get it close to him, but how do I do that? I just don't know if I can run after him with all my strength. If we commit ourselves to God, God, I'm going to do the best I can do. I'm not going to worry about what might happen down the road. I'm not going to worry about if I can be perfect and follow you every day, but right now, right here today, I'm going to commit myself to you to follow after you. And it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." See, if we make our commitment to him, if we're sincere in our heart, in our commitment to God, God himself says, well, then I'll strengthen you so you can walk that walk. God wants us to be strong in following him. Of course he does, because he wants us to be able to walk in his plans. Not only does he want to see his plans accomplished, but he also wants to see us blessed. And so when he sees that we're committed to him, he begins to open doors. He begins to give opportunities. He begins to reveal his plans to us. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works that were prepared in advance for us to do. You see, God's already had things set up. He's already been working on this. It's already all laid out. It's already all set up. What he's trying to do is bring us to that point where we can fit in to what he already set up. God's plans include you. He's already thought it all out. He's already planned it all before you were even born. Even before the creation of the world, he already knew what he was going to do. I know that's hard to comprehend. Our finite minds can't comprehend infinity. We just can't. To us, there's always an end to something, but to God, there's not. To us, there's always a beginning of something, but to God, there's not. How could God plan something before the earth was even created? How would he even know it was going to be there? Well, he did. He created us. He fashioned us. He's molded us, and he's still molding us now to be this particular person, to be this individual that you are. You're not, you know, God didn't make you by accident. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You weren't God's first mistake. He doesn't make mistakes. So he's molding you and making you so that you will fit right into his plan, right where you are at just the right time. God can use any situation. He can use anything. In fact, we know the scripture that says God uses all things to work for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose. There it is again, his purpose, his plan. We have to trust him, knowing that he will never leave us, he'll never forsake us. He's always going to guide us if we make the effort to get close enough to hear the guidance, to hear that voice that He wants us to know, that He wants us to hear, that He wants us to understand. Remember when the Israelites were wandering in the desert? God guided them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. When God wanted Noah to make the ark, He gave him specific plans. When Joshua was about to cross the Jordan River, God gave him plans. He told him to go step out into the middle of the river and then stand there and wait for the nation to pass. Now, at the time, that seemed crazy, and the river was still going when they got there. But once they put their feet in the water stopped. Then they got into the middle, and they all of a sudden they're standing on dry ground, and the whole nation passed by. Just as God said. Because that was God's plan. He just needed them to act on that plan, and He would make the rest happen. Joshua 5:13 was when Joshua was near Jericho. He looked up and he saw a man standing, you know, next to him with a sword drawn. If you remember that story, and Joshua went up and asked, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for where you're standing is holy." So Joshua did it. And then Jericho, it says, was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went in, no one came out. So the Lord said to Joshua, "I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men." Now God's saying, okay, I've got a plan. I've already, in fact, God's telling him, it's already been accomplished as far as I'm concerned. Now here's the plan. If you do your part, this will happen. So that's when he tells them to march around the city with the armed men, you know, one time, 6 days in a row, and then, you know, go through the whole thing. We pretty much all know that story. Then go around and do that for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, blow the trumpets, march around seven times, blow the trumpets. When you hear the sound of the trumpets, have the people give a loud shout, and the walls will collapse, and everybody can go right up into it. And that's what they did. It happened just as God said it would. There was complete and total victory because they listened to God's plans and followed through on them. Now, God wants His people to have success. You see, that's something we sometimes don't get that. But God wants us to be successful. Not in all things, as we're going to see. Because sometimes some of those things are not God's plans. But in God's plans, He always wants us to have success. He wants to reveal His plans to us, and what better way to be successful than to have God direct our steps. If God's telling us every step to make, and if we follow those steps, I guarantee you, you will be successful. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's a whole big story there. I'm not going to read it all. It goes from chapter 20, verse 2 through 22. It talks about when Israel was being attacked by the Moabites and the Ammonites. And in verse 2, it says that King Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He didn't know what to do. Here comes all these invading armies. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to go ask God, what are the plans? What's the plans for today, God? What are we supposed to do about these guys? Verse 12, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Verse 14 and 15, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah," and all these other names, "as he stood in the assembly." And in 15 it says, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you." Now the plans are coming. the king and the people went before God. We don't know what to do. Show us, God. The prophet comes in, says, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do, or God's going to tell you what to do. Okay, now listen. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. And he says, now listen. And he says, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You see, when it's God's purpose, think about this. If it's God's purpose, and he's calling us to work in that purpose, of course the battle is his. Because it's his plan, it's his purpose, it's his job that he wants done, and he's asking us to be his hands and feet, to move in this plan and to be a part of it. And if we do what he says, there will be victory because it's God's plan. It's his purpose. So they received from the plans from God on how to defeat the army. If you know the story, what happened was they actually sent out the praise and worship team to walk out in front of the army, singing, "Give thanks unto the Lord. His name endures forever." Because they were so confident in God and in the victory, they could do that. And what happened was God set up ambushes against the enemies, and they were defeated, and God's victory was complete. So here's the key. The battle was God's. The battle was God's. They were doing his bidding. They were following his plans. This was their purpose, at least at that time. This was the plan that they were to follow, and they were completely successful. And then because they did what God asked them to do, they were abundantly blessed in the process. That's one of the wonderful benefits of knowing God. Of knowing him well enough to be able to get hold of his plans. We get to watch him fight the battle, and we get to enjoy the victory. When it's truly God's show, when it's his battle, we just have to do our part, whatever he says, and the victory we enjoy together. Proverbs 21:30 tells us there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. Why do the nations rage and kings rage? You know, all these people plotting against God. God up in heaven, he just sort of laughs. It doesn't scare him when nations plot against him, when governments plot against him. Do you think God's worried about that? We fret about it. God doesn't. He's got a plan. You know, and plans a lot of times don't move fast enough for us because, you know, I mean, we know what we're doing. You know, we know it should be faster, right? But God knows what he's doing. And certain things have to happen. He shows us all this. If you study the Bible, we study it in the Old Testament. We've been reading up in our Thursday afternoon Bible class, and we see how history works. History is his story. We see how it works and how kings rise and kings fall, nations rise and nations fall. People are taken captive, his people are taken captive, his people are set free. You know, I mean, temples are built, temples are destroyed. I mean, all these things happen, and we see the plan of God gradually unfolding. And how God works all these things together. Story of Joseph. He's told that, you know, early in his life that he's going to, all his parents and brothers are going to bow down before him. It takes years and years and years later when it actually happens. And not only does he save his family, but he saves the entire nation of Israel. But God had a plan. I think it was 17 years later is when it came to fruition. You know, and Joseph probably wanted it to happen that week. Instead, he got thrown in a hole, sold into slavery, thrown into prison, thrown in jail, suffered, all this kind of stuff's going on. didn't quite go according to his plans, but it went according to God's plans. In Christ, we have the victory. Now, God understands our weaknesses. He understands our difficulty in hearing and understanding his plans and his word. And so he takes helping his people to a whole new level, because that's the kind of God he is. He's not content to watch us wander in disillusionment and failure. So he steps it up. And he says, I'm going to do something even more for them. You remember what it was like when we were in school? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Did they have school buildings back when you were in school, Bob?
No?
Yeah. Maybe we weren't quite sure about our career choices. Maybe we weren't quite sure about what classes to take or how to get the help we needed. Maybe it was financial help. Maybe it was after school, you know, going to college. Whatever it was. So they had something there for us called a counselor. Now, some of these counselors were good, and some of them weren't that good. But there were some good ones. But God has a counselor, too. He's only got one counselor, because he only needs one counselor because he is the best. The absolute best. There is no other, and so why should there be more than one? There's one counselor, and his name is the Holy Spirit. John 14:16 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you a counselor, another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. John 14:26, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. See, he wants to explain. He wants to help us understand. He wants to remind us of the things that we're supposed to know. John 16:13 and 14 tells us that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The Holy Spirit, he's telling us right there, is going to reveal God's plans and purposes. His plans, you know, he wants to show his plans to us. And so as we seek the Lord with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength, and as we go to him and ask for guidance, God says, no problem. I got a counselor that will help you get that. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. See, God wants us to understand. Going down two more verses, verse 14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But we can. We can never get hold of God's plans and understand those plans without the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why God gives us the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. And it's a gift for those who know God and are close to God. And in fact, God says it's for his children. It says in Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God, or the sons of God, or the children of God. So, those of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and God as our Father, now he's our Father, he says, okay, you're my children. If you're my children, you are going to have my Holy Spirit to guide you. It's a gift I'm going to give you. He's going to live in you forever. He's going to continually remind you of my truth and my word. He's going to help you understand my plans. He's going to be there for you all the time. We have to learn to hear that still small voice that tells us when to turn to the right or to the left. God is speaking to us through His Spirit. The question is, are we listening? God is able to reveal more to us than we think, than we could ever think possible. God is able. With man, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible, and God is able to reveal His plans to us if we seek Him with all of our heart. God wants us to understand. I mean, when you want to train up your children, when you want to teach your children, you don't tell them something so they can't understand. You try your hardest to help them understand because you want them to understand. You want them to be blessed. You want them to be successful. You want them to know the dangers. You want them to know the understand their privileges. You want them to get it. And God's the same way, even better. We can't stick something inside of our kids that's going to be there all the time. Maybe we give them a cell phone that'll be with them all the time. But we can't put the Holy Spirit in them like God can. So God actually goes way beyond what we could do by giving us an internal GPS system. The God provision system. God provider system. Right inside of us. He's expecting us. God is expecting us to seek Him with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. It's all throughout His Word. He's telling us this is the way. This is how it happens. Jesus said in Luke 11:10, "For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, the door will be open." Our motives, of course, need to be pure. James 4:3 tells us that when you ask, you do not receive. Why? Why would he say that? When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures, on yourselves. You see, oftentimes when we ask God to give us insight, when we ask God to reveal, to show us, it's because of something we want. It's for our gain. It's for our selfish ambitions. And so we don't get it. It tells us right there, that's why we don't get it. Ambition is good. Godly ambition is wonderful. God wants us to have a godly ambition. But selfish ambition will always lead to destruction. Selfish ambition will always hurt us and hurt other people. Selfish. In other words, we're just trying to pump up self. Our whole thing with God is to try to put self aside and live by the Spirit. If we start having this selfish ambition where we build up self, we're hurting the real us, the spiritual us. In every area of our life, there are going to be challenges, there are going to be opportunities waiting for us to succeed in. Opportunities that God has devised. Divine appointments. God's got these works prepared in advance, waiting for us to do. And he's building us up to that point. He wants us to be ready. It's like preparing for the big fight. Getting ready for the race. Getting ready for the contest. God's training us. He's getting us there so that when we enter in, we win. We succeed. God wants to show us how to do it His way, for His glory. Psalm 23, we know it says that He wants to be our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He wants to guide us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. See, we keep trying to do things for our glory. That's the problem. It never works that way. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Once we get beyond this, we get to a certain point in our life where we finally begin to understand that no matter how much we try to pamper this flesh, it doesn't do any good. It just hurts us more and more. It just causes more grief, more sorrow, more pain, more distraction, more discouragement, more disillusionment. We can't. This flesh is dying. This flesh is, it's on the way out. I've said it a million times and I'll say it again. We are spirit. We are not just a body that has a spirit. We are, the real essence of us is that we are spirit with a body. This body is a temporary tent. Paul calls it a tent. This tent that we are living in. It comes, it goes. I mean, there's value in this body. I mean, God gave us a body. There's good things about this body. But this body is not lasting. So the thing that we want to build up is our spirit. We want to store up our treasures in heaven, not here, not for this. And our ambitions have to be for God, not for self. And when we get that right, when we finally get that together and we do it, we pull it together, all of a sudden everything begins to work. Everything begins to function. We begin to see that God's blessings begin to flow. The understanding begins to come. The Holy Spirit begins to move in our life. See, God wants to do all this stuff in us. And the more available we are, the more ready we are, the more willing we are, then God will just start pouring it out. If we're a vessel that is going to be used for God's purposes, He's going to pour and pour and pour in, because He knows we're just going to pour it out for His glory. If it's all for us, He's not going to support that. He's not going to. Why should He further our destruction? He's just not going to do that. He's trying to get us to die to ourself, to put aside our flesh. He's not going to help us to pump it up. All right, so let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You do make knowing You something that we can attain. Lord God, that we can really, honestly get to know You through Your Word, through Your Holy Spirit, through prayer, through so many different ways. You've given us access into the throne room, into the Holy of Holies. And Lord, Your Word tells us that You will reveal Your plans, Your purposes to us. So Lord, I pray that each one of us would get to that place where we would focus on You and on the Spirit, on the spiritual. That we would commit ourselves to You, to advancing Your kingdom, to doing Your will, to following Your ways. And Lord, I pray that as a result of that, that Your people would be blessed beyond our comprehension, Lord God. I know that You are just waiting, Lord God, to pour out Your blessings, that You love to bless Your children, Lord God. And Lord, I'm not afraid to ask for Your blessings, Lord God. I pray You would pour out Your blessings, pour out Your abundance, pour out all those good things that You've got for us, Lord God. Father, we enjoy them. And Lord, I know that you enjoy giving them to us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're such a good God. Thank you, God, for loving us so much. Thank you, God, for that love that endures forever, that knows no end. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Once again, happy Mother's Day to all you moms. Don't forget to call your mother and say happy Mother's Day to her if she's not here today.
Eternidad por siempre.